What we need to learn here tonight, and we'll make this our first heading. I only have two main headings tonight, so we're going to have a short sermon. Two main headings. And the first one is this. This light dwells in every true Christian. Ye are the light of the world. Now that's true because of grace. This light, this knowledge of the Lord, this knowledge of the gospel dwells in every true Christian by grace. It is the result of our conversion. It is the result of our new birth. Ye must be born again. And when you've been born again or born from above, there is a light that comes into the soul. Many people have described it that their conversion was like the light coming on. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak Today. This is Ian Gallagher. Today, the sermon's on Ye Are the Light of the World. The Lord Jesus spoke those words on the Sermon on the Mount to his disciples and to all there, and he speaks them to his born-again people today. But firstly, I want to move to that passage where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. That's John chapter 8, verse 12. Let's read this passage. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came, and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Well, here is God's word to us today. And the text, again, I mentioned is, Ye are the light of the world. This is the Lord speaking to disciples and to his followers. Ye are the light of the world. Stay tuned as we move now to the pulpit of our church on this text. Here's a question for you. I seem to start meetings a whole lot of times with questions, but it does help us to focus on the real issue. And the question tonight is this: what does this world most need? My answer would be Christians. If God would give more Christians in the world, it would be in big part an answer to the awful and mighty need in the darkness that is in the world. The greatest thing that can happen in a home is for someone to become a Christian, and they begin to live out the light and the knowledge and the grace of the gospel in that home. And just imagine, the father of the home is converted. And as he seeks to be a father in that home and to live out the will of God for him as a Christian father, well, it's going to impact upon the whole family. And surely God could use that. Likewise, we think of a school. What is the greatest thing that could happen in a school, even a public school? Is a Christian, a teacher, to become a Christian? And the whole leaven of the gospel will permeate the life of that person and their whole influence upon the students and the children of that home. In the workplace, you think of the problems that face in any business or any office. The biggest change that could come around is for one worker to become a born-again Christian and to begin to breathe the life and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus in the workplace. Also, the greatest need in Canada is that we have multiplied Christians so that the whole light of the gospel will shine forth far away. And then as we think of other lands, and some of them have never had the gospel, the greatest thing that could happen to them is a missionary to arrive on shore and to spread the news that Jesus saves. And what a power that can be. What could never be accomplished by bombs or by bullets or weapons of war can be done through the preaching of the cross. I have been reading a book just recently about the fall of empires. And it is a truism that most empires only last about 200 years. And they eventually cave in among themselves due to corruption and inner fighting, and they cannot endure. And usually by their prowess and by their pride, they make so many enemies in the world that they end up just defeated and wiped off the map. Such people who are converted to Christianity will want to be governed by God's laws. They will want to be living out the Ten Commandments and the whole law of God. Very soon we're going to get to that part of the Sermon on the Mount where the Lord Jesus, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law, but rather to establish it. And not one jot or tittle will be removed from it." And so the person that is living for God and living according to the Bible will want to be displaying that law of God in all of his life. And so if we have more Christians, the crime rate will go down. The whole management of people will be so much different. And while this seems out of a fantasy book and far from reality, it really is the story of Christianity as you look into history. In the mornings, we've been looking in the book of Acts and what changes, what attitudes were changed in that book of Acts. People that were dead in sin and living for an empty religion were set on fire with the gospel. Could you imagine that happening in Canada? And it certainly is the greatest need. When you read the journals of men like Eliot and Brainard, who went to native peoples in the eastern side of the United States, New England, reaching native peoples with the gospel. What a change it brought to men and women who never knew civilization, never mind the gospel or the knowledge of Christ. And of course, recently I have rehearsed the revival ministries of Whitfield and Wesley and Nicholson in Ireland, and I mentioned Saskatoon 1970, just after the visit of Duncan Campbell, and how God did visit that city with a breath of revival in the 1970s, and it transformed a whole community. The minister of the church was a man called MacLeod at that time, and Duncan Campbell predicted revival is going to come to this church, and it did. And there was a breath of God upon that people. And it is a lack of revivals that has brought about the moral decline that is in our Western nations today. And so the best gift of God is that he could multiply the number of Christians within this world. And of course, make them to be effective Christians. And I hope that will be you. I hope that you do not think of others as we preach about this tonight. Don't be thinking about someone else. Think about yourself. And I want to bring you now to this text of our subject tonight, where the Lord Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 14, ye, and I'm going to qualify that ye, it's singular, ye and not someone else. And there was the Lord on that mount speaking, at first at least, seeing the multitudes, he took his disciples unto him. And so at first he was speaking to his disciples, and many others gathered in on it. But he said to them, ye are the light of the world. And so let us not shirk this responsibility and try to shift it onto someone else. The Lord would say to us here in this word, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So what we need to learn here tonight, and we'll make this our first heading. I only have two main headings tonight, so we're going to have a short sermon. Two main headings. And the first one is this, that this light dwells in every true Christian. Ye are the light of the world. Now that's true because of grace. This light, this knowledge of the Lord, this knowledge of the gospel dwells in every true Christian by grace. It is the result of our conversion. It is the result of our new birth. Ye must be born again. And when you've been born again or born from above, there is a light that comes into the soul. Many people have described it that their conversion was like the light coming on, walking in darkness, and suddenly God opens eyes and hearts to the wonders of the gospel. Christianity, of course, is called walking in the light. Now, I have a number of verses that I want to share with you tonight, but I want you to think about that fact. Walking in the light. We have to realize that before we became a Christian, all of our life, we were walking in darkness. I can remember the awful ignorance in my own heart before my conversion. The things that I thought about, the things that I pondered, it was absolute ignorance. I had no knowledge of God. I did not read my Bible. And anything that I would have dwelt on was just pure darkness. And there are many tonight in this world that are just following the imaginations of men. And usually when it turns to religion, as John Calvin would say, man is just a mere factory of idols. And even the smartest and the brightest of men in the area of religion, they just turn to idolatry. It's a terrible reality that we live with, that man without God and without the gospel follows darkness. And I'm sure you can testify that to that as well. But now that we're saved, now the Lord has shone the light of the knowledge of his Son into our hearts, we're called to walk in the light. Ye are the light of the world. Now, a couple of verses I think that will help us to think about this and the contrast that it is between the old life and the new and what really Christian living is. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 4, 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart. That was me. That was me pre-conversion. That was me before I was born again and walking in my own dark, ignorant, foolish way, without a thought of God. But that, praise God, does not continue for the Christian. Now, we go on, who, verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And unfortunately, that ignorance leads to a sinful life. It leads to a very depraved life, a life that goes further and deeper into sin. And all the things that are listed here has the potential of tremendous sin. And therefore, what a mercy that we've been delivered from that darkness. Where would we be tonight but for the grace of God? When we see the drunkard and the drug addict and we see the person fallen in the street, we have to say, there go I, but for the grace of God. And the light that God has shone into my heart, what a mercy it has been. Now, verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. Oh, what a wonderful change that makes. Ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. And then over in chapter 5, in verse 8, we see here again that this light really comes on. For ye were sometimes darkness. That was us, in our unconverted, lost condition. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. And here now comes as a command to us, walk as children of light. It's not an option. If you're going to profess faith in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you're going to say that I'm converted, I'm a Christian, then you cannot walk in the darkness any longer. You are to come out of it. Indeed, you'll see the call of coming out of that darkness right here as we read on down this passage. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And you'll notice here too that the Christian is not neutral. The Christian is not shrugging his shoulders and says, I don't care which way this goes. No, he's an out-and-out Christian, shining the light wherever he can to reprove the darkness and expose it wherever he can. Not happy that others walk in darkness. We are willing to let that light shine. And that's grace. That's the new life that we have in Christ Jesus. We walk as children of light. And on down to verse 14. Let's just keep reading here. Verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And when we're saved, the work of regeneration, the miracle of conversion, suddenly the light comes on. But what happens as we go on in the Christian life, we get more light. We get more knowledge, more truth, more understanding of what is the will of God and the things that please him and the things that God hates and the things that we ought to be departing from, having no fellowship with. And so the light grows brighter and brighter until that perfect day when we shall see Christ himself. So this is grace in the heart. There is also the inner light of the Holy Spirit. When the Lord says to us, ye are the light of the world. Well, we know that light needs fuel and light needs energy to keep burning. And that's the ministry of the Spirit of God. And when he comes, he reproves of darkness. He reproves of sin, and he shines more and more the light of God into our hearts and into our souls. And so if we're walking in the Spirit, we're walking in the light, and vice versa. And the more we have the Spirit in our lives controlling our thinking, the more light we will enjoy, and the more blessed it will be, and more outstanding, the more of a shining light-emitting Christian we will be. So there's the Holy Spirit, and of course there's holy desires. And this is the amazing thing of what happens when we become a Christian. Not only is our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, not only are we justified legally, but there is a change of heart. The old things pass away and all things become new, and now we're not living just to please self, but we have a new desire to live to glorify our Heavenly Father.
Teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word, teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea, so that thou drawest me closer each day. Teach me thy wondrous grace, boundless and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Teach me to live, to die, saved by thy grace. Teach thou my lips to sing, my heart to praise. Be thou my Lord and King through
Well, that should be every Christian's prayer. Lord, teach me thy will. When we think of Romans 12 that tells us to be renewed in our mind, that we may be able to determine what is the good and perfect will of God. And I hope that you are praying each and every day to know the will of the Lord. Now, some questions come out of our message today. The word ye, where the Lord spoke to the disciples and to the people in the multitude, everyone has the personal responsibility to apply the Word of God to their own hearts. And so often we preach the Word and people think, well, that's just general broadcasting the seed. No, we're praying that that seed falls upon the individual's heart and you take it by personal faith that you personally are to be the light of the world. And here is the Lord speaking to your heart. And he's calling you to bear the light of the gospel in your own life, in your own sphere of life, and that you might shine for the Lord Jesus. Now, this light of the world is an amazing thing, that when we are born again, when we are converted from our sinful state into a state of grace, that we have spiritual light. It is a miracle. It is the Spirit of God bringing us out of our spiritual darkness and giving us an understanding. In 1 Corinthians 2:12, we read that these spiritual things are spiritually discerned. They have to be understood by the help and by the light of the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what happens when we surrender to the Lord. And the Christian is given a light, wisdom, knowledge, and a spirit of discernment, where we know the difference between truth and error. But that brings the responsibility that we walk in the light, that we exercise the knowledge we have to do those things that are well-pleasing in the Lord's sight. Before we were converted, ignorance ruled. We could not comprehend spiritual things. We could not understand God. We could not even understand the Bible properly. We were unconverted, unregenerate. But now that we are believers and we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we are to rise up in obedience to this command to obey the Lord and to receive the light of that word into our hearts. So what happens when we learn of Christ, when we are born of the Spirit? Well, we get a new mind. The law of God is written on our hearts, and we have the thirst now for spiritual knowledge. And praise God, we have the light of the Bible. And every Christian is to be a Bible searcher and looking for truth and building his or her life on the truth so that we can truly walk in the light as the Lord is in the light. This is the command, walk in the light. And if we're not doing that, then we're failing. If we are endeavoring to use our knowledge of the Scriptures, our understanding of the gospel, and obeying God's commands, then we are walking in the light. Now, I think the strength of this, the ability to do this, comes by fellowship with the Lord. It comes through prayer. And every Christian must become a praying Christian. We must pray for fellowship and closeness to the Lord, that we have also that inner witness of the Spirit, and that we're sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And if we are to be the light of the Lord to the world around us, then we need the Holy Spirit to be dwelling in us and witnessing and giving us that confirmation of things, whether they be right or wrong. And the closer we fellowship with the Lord, the more of that light that we receive. There is also the promise that was given to James, where it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not. God does give wisdom. He imparts his wisdom to his people to lead them into the truth. That's something that we all can pray for, and I trust that you will do that today. Thank you for listening to our broadcast. Join us again tomorrow as we let the Bible speak. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the homepage of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.